Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. Today, we are going to check in with our friends from ACE, the American Coalition of Ethanol, and I believe CEO, President Brian Jennings joins us. And Brian, we keep knocking off, or you keep knocking off little minor victories for us. At least I'd like to give you the credit. We finally got an emergency waiver for E15 again.
You know, Eric, I would love to take credit, but I really can't. You and I have talked about this topic of E15 so many times.
Yep.
And the most recent time we spoke about it, we kind of both acknowledged that on day one of his presidency, Donald Trump issued an executive order which directed EPA to take emergency steps to allow E15 nationwide during the summer if it was needed. And we were hoping this was not needed. We were hoping that Congress will have finally done what we need them to do and pass a bill, but they haven't yet. And so, yes, we do have this emergency declaration from EPA Administrator Zeldin, and that is great because it's going to ensure uninterrupted access to E15 in all 50 states during the summer of 2025. And so, we can knock that one off the list or mark that one off the to-do list and keep working on some of these other things.
Well, first of all, Brian, I need to clarify exactly what this was. I understand the emergency waiver, but there was a group of governors that had applied before for the waiver for the summer. North Dakota was not one of them. Initially they were, but then I think they pulled themselves off. And in the meantime, everybody's been trying to get the governor to apply for it. I don't think that he did. So when they granted this waiver, I'm like, are we still going to get it? Can we still qualify? Well, these emergency waivers just kind of supersede everything anyway. Is that right? Basically.
You are correct.
Okay.
This emergency waiver from EPA supersedes everything, and so North Dakota is good to go.
Okay.
Even though North Dakota was not one of those handful of states where the governors sort of took their own initiative. So this is a blanket waiver for all states during the summer months. So E15 is good to go in North Dakota this summer.
And they cut it about as close as you possibly could have, because May 1st was the deadline, right, that we would have had to have been able to sell E15 like 2 days from now. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a couple dates. So May 1st is the magical date or the key date for the terminal operators and the fuel suppliers.
Okay.
And so, yes, you are right. They needed that news. The date for you and I as consumers and the date that the retailers really pay attention to is June 1st.
Mm.
But, of course, the supply chain needs time to gear up and make sure that the right products are available. And so that's why the announcement has been made here end of April, beginning of May, so the terminals can be ready to acquire the lower volatility gasoline that they need to blend with 15% ethanol and then make that product available to retailers by June 1st of this year.
Okay. So we're excited about the announcement, but the simple truth is it's silly that we still have to be doing this, right? Especially since we thought we were going to get E15 permanently, being able to sell it, as you mentioned, right before the year started, and then it got taken out of the CR for the farm bill. Then I believe there's some bills reintroducing it not that long ago. I just haven't heard it's gone anywhere. So where is the actual full-time, hey, let's sell E15, where is that bill right now?
There are bills both in the Senate and the House pending in Congress, Eric. They have really strong bipartisan support in both the House and the Senate. And I think where we are at this stage is we're kind of depending upon our strongest supporters in Congress to figure out which process and which bill the E15 provision ultimately gets hitched to. You and I have talked about this before, that E15 legislation on its own probably could not pass through both houses of Congress. And so what we're working to do is to build momentum to a point where our strongest supporters in Congress think Senator Klobuchar of Minnesota, I think John Thune, Senate Majority Leader of South Dakota, folks like that. Of course, the North Dakota delegation would be included in our strong supporters. Give them an opportunity to figure out, okay, do we attach this to the farm bill? Do we attach this to disaster aid? Do we attach it to this reconciliation slash budget bill, which is something they're tackling right now? And so we're just sort of waiting for our strongest leaders and supporters in Congress to kind of make the political calculation as to where it would best be served to try and move this bill forward. And, you know, I hate to say this and jinx ourselves, but yeah. I do feel like we're to a point where we're going to get this done. You said it. We came so close last year,
right
before Christmas, and then it got pulled at the end of the year. I think the members of Congress that we've been talking to, they have a bitter taste in their mouth about that process too. So I think they're working sort of double time and overtime to try and make sure we get it done in 2025.
And the sad truth is E15 was not the reason why it got pulled. It was the 140 other additives they decided to put on that bill. And they're like, no, this is getting too cluttered. So they cleaned up the whole bill and took pretty much everything off. And unfortunately, E15 got lopped off with that. And so that was the sad truth. It wasn't because it wasn't passable. It just because so many other additives got put on there, or amendments, I guess is the word that I should be looking for.
You hit it on the head. It on the head. Yep.
Is there a dollar sign associated with, okay, we got another victory again with being able to sell E15 and in our state here and other states with this emergency waivers. Is there any kind of dollar sign on savings that we're aware of when we pass this? Because I know as I was reading your guys' newsletter, and I know just even for ethanol in Minnesota in 2024, looks like unleaded 88 saved about $24 million in a year for drivers there. So I don't know what the savings would be here, but it's got to be something because it saves me a lot of money.
It's a big deal for cost savings. You are correct. Minnesota is one of the only states in the country that carefully tracks E15 sales. So we don't have state-specific information for North Dakota and most other states. But as a general rule of thumb, E15 is going to cost somewhere between a dime and maybe 20 to 25 cents less than what you're, you know, typically filling up on. If that's unleaded 87 and it's E10, if it's straight gasoline, it's going to be an even more significant cost savings. And that's a big selling point for us, obviously, is just the cost effectiveness, the low cost benefits of ethanol and E15 really offering that sort of relief at the pump for folks when it's needed.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, I got a flex fuel vehicle. It's a 2014 Jeep, nothing fancy, but I go to the pump, and believe me, using that flex fuel has saved me a ton of money. You and I have had this conversation before. I would just like to figure out how they set the pump at the price, though, or the price at the pump, because it seems like some places I get bigger savings than I do others, and I'm not sure why that is, but it's better than the others.
A lot of that probably has to do, Eric, with the timing of when they purchased the fuel, because obviously fuel prices are a moving target. And, you know, unfortunately, E85 doesn't move out of the tank as quickly as we would like, because there just aren't as many flexible fuel vehicles out there and not as many people using it. So, you know, it could be that maybe one retailer purchased the E85 at a higher price at some point in the past than another retailer. There's also definitely, and I'm not making accusations here, but just a truism from our experience, is that sometimes retailers mark up the price of E85 more than what they probably ought to in terms of what it costs them to acquire that product. And so that's an issue we've had with, you know, retailers from time to time as well.
Okay. Otherwise, Ace, I know you guys got a lot of different things that you're monitoring. What's the biggest thing in Washington besides E15 right now? Is there something else you guys are monitoring?
Yeah, the next big thing, I think, for the ethanol industry will be a major decision that EPA has to make about the future of the renewable fuel standard, Eric. We expect sometime in the month of May, that EPA Administrator Zeldin will release his proposed rule for the 2026 calendar year and the 2027 calendar year blending obligations for refiners under the renewable fuel standard. And as we are looking at the potential of maybe these trade wars continuing for some time, and if any export market gets taken away from ethanol, we're going to need to make up for that by increasing demand for ethanol here at home. E15 is one way to do that, but making sure the RFS blending obligations are robust and strong is another way to do that. And so we've been talking to EPA not only about E15, but about these RFS targets they're about to release, or at least the proposed targets. And we're hoping, you know, for good news sometime in May on that front.
Okay. I'm hoping to be able to come to your biofuels conference. That is coming up in August, is it not? Your 38th annual ACE conference? Still planning for that?
We would love to have you there. Yes, it's August 20th through the 22nd.
Okay.
In Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that's something I'm going to, for folks, well, obviously you guys have been doing it for quite a long time. For somebody that hasn't been to that event before, is that open to the public? Is it people in the ethanol industry, or who would be good people besides me, because I'd like to go, who would be good people to be able to attend?
It really is open to the public, but it's more geared for farmers, people that are part of the ethanol industry.
Okay.
That's more sort of who we're sort of trying to, you know, suit our conference to.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll be in touch. We'll see if we can figure something out. Brian, I appreciate you popping on. We're getting minor victories as we go. I was excited. I'm like, God, this is another thing, although it's still just the emergency waiver, but we're close to the other portion of this getting passed in Washington, D.C. Do you think this is something we'll get done before, like, June as far as getting a permanent use for E15 through Washington?
If I had to put it, you know, I agree with you. I think 2025 is the year. I really do.
I do too.
I think June is a bit premature. If I were to put sort of a timetable on this, I think we're looking at this fall sometime. I really do.
Is this something that's going to have to be paired up with the Farm Bill or no?
That's one way to do it. That's one way to potentially, you know, and I shouldn't say that's one way to do it. I think that's one way to potentially do it. But that decision really doesn't rest with me as an ethanol advocate. It rests with our congressmen and our senators, and they're the ones that have to sort of make that call. And so we're just trying to do our level best to demonstrate to them that there's strong support for this across the country. And you know, trust them to sort of figure out what process and what bill makes the most sense.
Perfect. Brian Jennings, for anybody that wants to read and find out more about the work that ACE does on a daily basis, is there a website you could tell them to go to?
There is. It's simple, ethanol.org.
Very good. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you hopefully soon.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Eric.